Ignite your life with passion and purpose. Your health, your wealth, your happiness. Make it good. This is Modern Love with Dr. Brenda Wade.
A big thank you to Rainbow Grocery, our favorite grocery store here in the San Francisco Bay Area, for being our sponsor, because a healthy body is a sexy body.
Oh, and we are all about being sexy because it's the lazy, hazy days of summer. They are just about to expire, and we want to make the most of that and keep that nice hazy glow going in your love life. So today we're going to be talking about the secrets of summer love with business coach of all things, Paula Black, who says take advantage of one of summer's greatest strengths, which is the opportunity to slow down and reflect on whether your career is being guided by you or is on automatic pilot, because that's a way to love yourself, is to be aware. Awareness itself, power, and we want to unlock that power. And here at Modern Love Radio and Modern Love Training, we know that the real power in all of our lives is the power to access our own inner knowing, our own strength, and above all, that great strength is our power to love ourselves and love others. And you might think, what has that got to do with my career and my success? Well, I think you're going to find out it's got everything to do with your career and success. And you know I'm a geek, so I'm going to throw one fact at you. People who are in great, connected, healthy relationships are way more successful, some research shows, more than three times as successful as single people for a variety of reasons. So that's why every month we have a live full-day Modern Love training right here in San Francisco in our Modern Love Training Center coming up this Saturday, August 18th. Run, don't walk. Register yourself at Eventbrite for Healing Invisible Wounds 3.0. This is the biggest breakthrough yet in shifting your relationship with love, money, and yes, of course, sex, because they are all ways that we express ourselves in the world, and they are the three most powerful ways. So we want you to join us and our special guest. Go to Eventbrite. You'll find out all you need to know and how to register yourself. And if you do it today, you still get the early bird special, and you will save $197. It's only $97 if you register right now. Now, here is our Ask Dr. Brenda question for today. It says, Dear Dr. B, my neighbor told me she's pregnant. She lost her job a few months ago, and her boyfriend left her shortly thereafter. Now she's planning to have a child without basic resources. She told me she's scared and that she wanted to talk about it. I was happy to listen because she's in a tough spot, and the other day she asked if I would help her out financially. That's not something I'm prepared to do. I have my own family, but I don't want to abandon her. How should I handle this? Pregnant pause. Well, listen, pause. It's a great question and a very tough situation. Now, you've already offered the most valuable thing that you can offer to your neighbor, and that is being a listening, caring friend. And what you can do is let her know that you will continue to be that listening, caring friend. You're not in a financial situation that allows you to contribute financially. But what you can do is once a week, sit down with her and support her in her efforts to support herself. So point her down the road to resources for women who are having babies without partners. There are lots of them out there. Point her down the road to ways that she can work from home and really show her that she has the power to meet this challenge in her life and open this new chapter with her own strength, her own ability. You know that old saying, teach a person to fish, don't give them the fish. All right, let me tell you more about Paula Black, our special guest today. Through her coaching business, she has advised lawyers, accountants, financial advisors, media professionals, real estate professionals, small business owners to find harmony between their growing business, their family life, and play. She's the award-winning author of the Little Black Book series, which includes her fifth book, A Lawyer's Guide to Creating a Life, Not Just a Living. Love that title. Today, Paul is going to share tips for listeners who want to stop doing what they think they should be doing and to focus on what they want to do. So she's going to help you analyze your choices, take inventory, get out of your own head, and to get out of your summer doldrums into empowering, love-filled life. Her website, I'll give it to you now, is www.paulablack.com. Welcome to the show, Paula.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Brenda. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, goodness gracious. Tell us more about you and what led you to start working with people to really build lives that I would say the word that comes up for me that are more balanced and fulfilling.
Well, I've been in the business development area, both as coaching and consulting, and you know, probably 25 years, and also writing books for nearly 15 years. And I have been privileged to work with people and watch them find their courage and their passion and to create a new way of life. And in doing so, it inspired me to write another book because the stories are so compelling and inspiring to realize, yes, we can do it no matter who you are, where you are, what level you're at. I have this strong pushback to people who talk about work-life balance. Work-life balance is an impossibility because you can never keep it at that equilibrium.
Well, oh, that's really interesting because that's the grand prize for everyone these days. Everyone's talking about work-life balance.
Exactly.
And you're saying it's impossible.
Right, because it's impossible to keep that equilibrium.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that it's more beneficial to think of it in terms of harmony. But there will never be equal parts.
That's an interesting word.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's all these parts of your life that work together as an orchestra to create this fabulous, fabulous life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what's featured are the brass horns and sometimes it's the strings, but it's how it all works together.
So
and
what was it that got you into doing coaching and doing this kind of work in the first place?
Well, I think it was seeing the frustration of my clients that we were working on business development and branding their businesses and needing something else. Their conversations would move toward, well, you know, I never have any time. I feel guilty that I'm not spending more time with my family. I feel guilty that it's not working the way I want it to work. And the conversation just grew in that direction. And the you could feel the pain. You could feel the frustration that, yes, this is all very good, growing my business, whatever that is.
Yeah, so it's interesting because for most of us, I know that we live in a culture where we see the grand prize, the symbols that we've accomplished something, as things that are outside. It's the money,
mm-hmm.
it's the awards,
mm-hmm.
it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, how many business contacts or how many sales, whatever it is. So what you're saying is that harmony is what we should look for. Now, how would you know that you have harmony? What are the signs?
Because it feels right. It doesn't feel stressed, like it's pulling at you. You have managed expectations. So, for instance, I was on a flight and saw a husband and wife and three kids. And the wife was working on a report or something, and she was kept telling the kids, "Ask Dad, ask Dad." And we got off the flight waiting for our luggage, and the woman is on the phone, and the dad is rolling his eyes, and the kids are kind of like, "What's going on?" And she keeps saying, "Shh, shh, shh, shh." And I realized she was not managing their expectations. How would it have been different had she said, "Mommy needs to make a call, and then we're going to start our vacation as soon as we get our luggage, and I'm going to go sit over here in the corner, and as soon as I'm done, I'll be right back."
Yeah, and I would say, depending on the age of the children, give them a specific timeline. It's going to take this long, you know, watch the clock or look at your watch or look at your phone or whatever it is, so that they
perfect.
Can see it. Because with children, you know, the concrete marker, I just have to throw that in there, the concrete marker they can control and they can see is super important.
Right.
Because younger children don't have any sense of time. So I understand what you're saying. You're saying one of the things is in managing time on behalf of the children, this is also a way for that parent to set a boundary for herself and say, "I'm going to rejoin my family and get back in the flow of the family vacation." Now, look, I'm guilty. I have my hand up. I've always been a professional woman, I'm sure just like yourself. I have raised children, traveled the world with them, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I do know that it creates a certain discomfort attempting to balance all those things at the same time. So I understand, looking at your book, you have four tips that will help us to stop doing what we think we should be doing and to focus on what we really want to do instead.
Right. Mm-hmm. First, you got to take a step back and look at it from that 30,000-foot level. What are you really doing? And be honest. You know, are you looking at your phone while you're at the dinner table? Are you, you know, looking at your phone in a board meeting? All those things that you're not being present, and what is it you really want to do? What are your goals? Where do you want to make life's adjustments? And take inventory. Number two is take inventory on those things that you want to adjust. You know, maybe you're saying, I don't have time. And I think that is the mantra of most people today. I don't have time, I don't have time.
And you're saying what's important is to actually sit down and take inventory, meaning where are we spending time?
Exactly.
How much time is going where in which bucket? So are there different buckets we should be looking at?
Right, exactly. So that you may say that you know, spending time with your daughter, helping her with her homework is really important, but you realize that you're squeezing it in, you know, in 10-minute increments or between phone calls, and that's not what you really want to do. And when you think about that time block and really be diligent in the time commitment that you're giving it, or giving a colleague at work or somebody in your charity endeavors.
Now, you're a lawyer yourself. Oh, I thought it said a lawyer's guide to creating a life, not just a living. Oh, I see. It's for lawyers. Got it.
Correct.
Got it, got it, got it. That totally makes sense because I have so many of my own private patients and clients who are lawyers, and this is their greatest struggle because you get paid by the 10-minute or 15-minute increment.
Right.
So people have to log enough time, and until you make partner, you're really attached to that clock. So what would you say when someone is saying, gee, I'm on the clock, that's how I get paid, yet I want to make time for my children? How do you make a practical and also a personal decision at the same time?
I think that one has to figure out how much time they're going to spend doing their legal work and be realistic that it doesn't always fit into a compartment. So what are you going to do with the overflow? So, for instance, I'm going to finish at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever time you say, 5 o'clock, and be home for dinner. And you shut off the phone, you don't look at your email, and you are present with your family. Then you put the kids to bed, and you go into your back room and work for another 2 or 3 hours or whatever you need to do. But generally, we're thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to answer every email. I have to answer every phone call. And generally, the expectations aren't that you're going to be standing there waiting for the client's phone call or your boss's phone call. And maybe if they are expecting that, maybe you have to manage their expectations. That
just
I'm
like
not
the
available
children.
From.
We're not calling your boss a child, but you might have to tell your boss, I'm going to be with my family for the next couple of hours. I will be available again at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock or something like
and
that.
I'm a proponent of not even telling them why.
Yes.
For their business why. I'm not available from 7 to 9.
Got
I'm not available.
Right. I think that is a better strategy, not to let people know. Now, what are the other tips? So you're saying look at your time, carve out time for what's important, and this is boundary setting. You're saying I'm not available 7 to 9, we'll be available again at this time, and you don't owe anyone an explanation. What are the other things that you advise, your four tips about doing what you think you should?
Yeah. The third is get out of your head. And those preconceived ideas on how it's supposed to be. In the legal profession, you know, developing business, you got to go to lots of networking and bar associations and things of that sort. No, you don't. You can do it your way. You can figure out where you want to network. You can figure out how you want to be close to the kids in different scenarios. Think outside the box. What works for your family? What works for your practice or your business?
So give us an example of something that someone you've worked with has done to break out of these kinds of rules. Everybody gets the rule book, the playbook, when they leave professional school. And, you know, it doesn't matter what profession you're going into, everyone pretty much gets the same advice. Join the associations, go to the meetings, go to the conferences, you know, call on people, et cetera, et cetera. What are some of the creative things that people do?
Well, one of them was a fella who was asked to sit down with me by his boss. And he walks into the room and he says, if you're going to tell me to go to bar association meetings, I'm not going. And I said, good, because I'm not going to tell you that. I said, tell me about your life. Tell me what you do. And he started talking about coaching his kids. And he had two kids, a daughter and a son, and he loved coaching. And so he really makes sure that he's out of there by 5:30, and he coaches. And he does it for a big league. And I said, well, why can't we look at business development with all the parents that you're interacting with on an ongoing basis? And he said, Huh. Never thought about that.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's kind of bloom where you're planted. He's interacting with these people anyway. Might as well make those professional connections through. And, you know, that's actually a better way when people know you and trust you.
Correct. Correct. I said, how many people know you're a lawyer? And he said, I don't know, probably very few. I said, there, you can just start there. And he said, well, I can't just stand up and make an announcement that, you know, I'm a lawyer, a bankruptcy lawyer. And I said, no, but in conversation, you can say, as a lawyer, as a bankruptcy lawyer, I see lots of da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is. But it has to be natural. It has to be in conversation. And as he started to do this, he realized that probably about 20%, maybe even 30% of the parents that he was dealing with were lawyers and or worked at the courthouse or connected to his profession in some way. And then there was another probably 10 or 15% that were accountants and financial advisors that would be great referral sources.
That's a good story. That's a very good story. And I want to just add one of the things that I did when I first came out of my training was I actually, with the women who were in training with me, I created a little support group. And there were just eight of us. But we sat down together and gave one another a lot of support. I think we met every other Tuesday night, and it would be a potluck dinner. And we would talk about how we were doing because, A, that felt really good to let somebody else know what was going on, and, B, any referrals, any ideas, anything we could do to help promote one another, we would do it. And it was so
helpful. And it felt
helpful.
Great, huh?
So it could be a personal network. And to this day, some of those women are still my best friends.
Yes, yes. Because you're all trying to do the very similar things. You're growing your business.
So review those four tips for us. I want to make sure everybody gets them. Now, everyone, write these down. You may want to write them down. So, Paula, go through them again, please.
Okay. Number one is take a step back and look at your situation from a 30,000-foot level. Number two, take inventory. What are you doing and what should you be doing and what should you not be doing?
Right. And
number
some
three,
of it is shifting, as you said, to what you want to do instead of just what you should. Okay, number three.
Yes. Number three is get out of your head, think outside the box, and figure out how it's going to work for you.
Now, I'm going to add something, if you don't mind, to that piece of advice, because I think you're already striking this chord, if you don't mind me using your orchestra analogy. I think that for a lot of us, learning to trust our hearts, and what I mean by that is the thing that lights you up, that makes you happy, that gives you energy, you want to make sure you're having generous helpings of that. Because, again, I have to throw in the research. If we're doing the things that bring joy and satisfaction, even if it's not your professional life that's the full source of that, but you have enough balance of those other things, the immune system is stronger. Your blood pressure is going to be healthy, normal, low blood pressure, and you're just going to be a lot happier, less depression and anxiety. So there's my pitch to follow Paula's advice. And what was number four, Paula?
Number four is tamp down the guilt and figure out what you want and what lights your fire, as you said, so that you're not feeling guilty all the time. You're not feeling you know, that I'm not doing anything well.
Good. Now, one of the things you also talk about is how complacency sucks the oxygen out of our dreams and our courage and our passion. Talk about that a little bit, please. We just have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we can.
Great. You know, when we realize that we're in our comfort zone or we're slightly out of it and we want to retreat, we want to jump back into it, that's a a real good sign that something needs to change, that you can't really live a full life if you're living it contracted, that you're not expressing yourself to the fullest in all the things that you do, and expressing yourself to your family and friends and loved ones, and you're just doing the comfort thing. Oh, this is what I've been doing for ages, and I just keep going through the motions. And we then start thinking life isn't really as big as we want it to be, and that complacency does suck the oxygen out of our dreams, and we stop dreaming. And without dreams, what is there? Without wanting
that reminds
better.
Me of something I used to hear in Sunday school when I was little. It said, without vision, people perish.
Yeah.
So we need the vision. Yeah. We need the dreams, because it ignites something different in us when we're going after something that has meaning, that has a sense of joy. And, you know, I really believe, and this is something we teach in all of our trainings, courage is one of the 12 powers of the heart. And when we're acting from courage, we're stretching ourselves. We're really stretching our capacity, and life is about growing. It's about growing.
It is.
It's about increasing more and more who we are, so we're gaining in wisdom. We're gaining in our impact with the people
and
around us, as well as the world.
Right.
Yeah, self-esteem has a lot to do with it. You're right. So Paula has a book. I want everyone to know about this. And she is offering everyone who's listening a free, I repeat, that's F-R-E-E, no cost, free download of her book, A Lawyer's Guide to Creating a Life, Not Just a Living. It's a $30 value. It's yours for free. You can go to her website, which is paulablack.com. Click on the image of the book, and at checkout, use the promo code. Now, you have to write the code down. It's 340. 340. Use that, and that book is yours for free. And if it applies to lawyers creating a life, not just a living, I think that's going to apply to a lot of people, a lot of different professions. So get in there and start soaking up some of Paula's wisdom. Paula, you get the last word. What do you want to leave us with?
I would like to wish all your listeners that they have the joy in their life, like you talk about all the time and that I talk about all the time, that it's fulfilling, and you'll hear in the stories in the book how people pursue those things. And you're right. You don't have to be a lawyer to appreciate what they've gone through and where they're going.
Yeah,
so
and I think a lot of what you're talking about applies to love. Our love lives also. It requires courage. It requires passion to really go for what you want in your love life as well as in your career. And many of us don't know the most important thing you can do is learn better. Learn better, you love better. Just like, you know, you learn better in your career and creating harmony in your life. I can't say enough. So, Paula, thank you for being our guest today. And I also want to thank you, Modern Lovers, and tell you again, this Saturday, live full-day training, Healing Invisible Wounds 3.0. It's the Love, Money, and Sex Breakthrough, and you are going to learn things that you're going to wish you'd known your whole life about how to generate, how to hold, how to create a pathway for the energy. Yes, because it is energy of love, money, and sex, and also practical tools. We have our money experts and our love and healing experts who will be joining us. So get to Eventbrite. Sign yourself up. Big thank you to our executive producer, Mr. LeGrand Green, our associate producer, Cliff Dunning, and an exciting show coming up next week. Tracy Edmonds, the Entertainment Tonight reporter, also Babyface's ex-wife. That's her other claim to fame. But Tracy will be our guest next week. So look forward to that, and we'll be with you soon, modern lovers. Get out there in love with all your heart. Blessings.